You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or join the Facebook discussion groups www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Pirates, as an organization, don't really care if he's the face of Friends. Because I think they respect that about him.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I got pretty excited about Nova coming over. He displayed some ludicrously good control when he joined the Pirates.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
It was almost like somebody just flipped a switch and told him that actually he could throw all his pitches kind of in the strike zone, and it seemed to work for him.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Ben Brenz, joined by Darius Austin. Darius, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'm wondering if people at some point at the end of a few previews in a row are going to wonder if we're the only staff members left on the site.
Wait, there's other staff members?
I've heard that some guy is doing prospect things, I think. I don't really know. I think it's just us at this point.
Well, it sounds about right. Why don't we just jump right in? We're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. But before we do that, tell our listeners where you can be reached, Darius.
You can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. If you've got any fantasy questions, feel free to hit me up. I am happy to talk about Ryan Healy and Robbie Ray all day.
Those are on the wrong team.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing again? Pirates.
Pirates, yes, the Pirates, the good old Buccos. I am B-Brennis, FWFB. Why don't we just jump right on in, and we're going to talk about Francisco Cervelli, who last year had a bunch of injuries, did not play to how we thought he was going to. He was not as good of a batting average as we thought. The dude doesn't really have any power, but he had 6 steals. Can you see him having a decent fantasy season, Darius?
It's really difficult. I mean, even when he has had power, it's not been like even 10 home runs power. His career high is 7. I do kind of like him just in very deep leagues because he's got like a nice sort of average and OBP baseline. I know the average wasn't so high last year, but it was actually still better than quite a lot of catchers. And his on-base percentage has been really good for years now. So I like him, especially in OBP leagues, as a second catcher that you can get. Other than that, you can't really expect much on the counting categories.
Yeah, I had liked him coming into last season as a real deep league or a two catcher league. I was like, oh, he's going to have some value, and then he really didn't. He kept getting hurt. He just doesn't put the ball over the fence really because he only had 1 home run, and he didn't even hit close to 300, which I kind of had expected. Because the year before, you know, he hit .295, 7 home runs, 56 runs, and 43 RBIs. That was a good fantasy season. And then last year, you know, the injuries definitely worked against him, but it would have been nice to see him at least produce a better season than that. I would have liked to have some decent value as a number 2 catcher, but oh well. Do you expect that Reese McGuire is going to be up and playing at all this year? Do you just envision that it's going to be Cervelli who's actually going to be healthy?
I think I could see McGuire coming up, maybe, but I wouldn't expect that anytime soon, and certainly not early enough for it to be fantasy relevant, I wouldn't have thought. I think Cervelli is the guy here, and then maybe Maguire gets called up in September or maybe slightly earlier on. But I don't think that he's a guy I'm going to be looking out for in fantasy, really.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure if he's going to be a great fantasy catcher in general, but we'll see. We'll see what type of value he is able to provide if he does get some playing time in the back half of the season. Why don't we move over to first base, and it's going to be talking about Josh Bell and company. And by company, I mean John Jaso. So, what can we expect from this first base situation? Because Josh Bell isn't the type of big home run hitter that you expect, but he hits for more average. Is this someone that you're looking to get as a corner infielder in some leagues, or are you just staying away from this first base situation?
Yeah, this is another one of those ones where I don't like the time he's shaping up. If I'm going to have somebody like this who isn't going to play full-time, I want like the Pedro Alvarez type who, at least if I'm in a day league and he's facing the pitcher from the right side, I can just slot him in and hope for the home run. I don't see that kind of power from Bell, and I don't see him getting anywhere close to a full season of play appearances. So I really don't think there's too much chance of me picking him up, and I'm kind of surprised about how often he's been going as a player who has very little power for the position. And I don't think he's going to be an exceptional batting average guy. I think his plate discipline is really nice, but there's not an awful lot else there for me.
Yeah, and you were saying before the podcast that you had heard that potentially the Pirates like John Chaso's defense a little bit more than they do like Bell's. So Bell could even get taken out at the end of games as a defensive replacement, which would really hurt his value if that actually is the case and if Chaso still gets at bats. How much playing time do you see, like the split? Do you see like a 60-40 or like a 70-30? What do you see this as?
I think I would start on the basis of 60-40 just because I'm uncertain. I mean, there's always the possibility, well, of course, that Bell doesn't offer them enough, then they go back to the more reliable option who's got the experience in Jaso more often. So I think that's kind of where I'm willing to project them for now. And I think that's kind of how the projection systems have it at the moment as well. They've not really committed too far in Bell's direction. So I just think there isn't enough upside. If I thought he was going to be a guy who could hit me 15 to 20 homers in part-time play, then I would be more interested in him. But somebody who hit three in the majors, and I think his minor league high in a full season is 14. So I just don't think the power is going to be there for me to play him as a part-time bench guy.
Yeah, I can't get behind him until I actually see some more development from him. And just at this point, I don't know if he's actually going to get any more power in that bat of his. Why don't we move over to Josh Harrison, who was having a good season to start last year. It started to slow down, but he got close to 500 at bats. He had a .283 average, 19 stolen bases. Decent counting numbers, except for home runs. He only had 4. What can you expect from Josh Harrison this year? And is he second? Is he a middle infield guy that you're looking to get because of those steals and average?
I think he's more a middle infield guy that I might fall back on if there's nobody else left that I like. I think that the steals can be decent. He's shown the ability to. I think he hasn't ever actually stolen 20, but I think he could do it if he played enough. I think the homers in 2014 when he hit 13, I think that was a bit of a fluke. I think this is a guy who's going to hit 4 or 5 at most. So I think, yeah, he's got a nice little batting average on him, and I think he can steal you around 20 bases if he plays full time. So I don't mind picking him up if all the other middle infield options that I would be interested in are gone. But I'm not going to expect some kind of breakout as he's coming into his age 30 season now.
Yeah, I had higher expectations last year because I was like, I seen what he's done in a full season. I thought maybe he could hit like 10 home runs, steal 20, 25 bases. He got close, but not in the home runs. I do think that he's capable of hitting closer to 300 if he's able to not just go in a total cold spell, in which he would hit sometimes like less than 250 for like a couple weeks on end. It can get ugly fast for him. So it would be nice to see some improvements, but at entering the age 30 season, like you said, it may be a little bit tough. But it was nice to see him get close to a full season of at-bats. It would be nice to see him make an improvement on that. Why don't we move over to shortstop, and that's going to be Jordy Mercer. Now, Jordy last year didn't have anything in terms of as a great fantasy player, but he's consistent, and he's in the lineup all the time. Is he a player that, in a really, really, really deep league in like 20 teams, that you're looking to potentially grab because of the consistency in his playing time, or no?
Yeah, I think he is one of those guys that that's the spot where he's relevant. I own him in a deep 20-team league where he's my middle infielder, just because I think he will play a lot and he can get you to double-digit home runs. There's nothing exciting to write home about for the average, and he hasn't really got an awful lot of speed, so he's not the kind of guy that you want to get excited about. But I think he's somebody who's going to get the playing time and can give you some okay power. So, yeah, I won't get too excited about Mercer, but I think if you're in that kind of league, then he's a fine option to have.
Yeah, I know that in one of my leagues last year, that's 20-team, 40-man rosters, he was rostered for, I don't know, about half the season by one of the lower-end teams, but he was still rosterable in those type of teams just because with the consistency, that's what you're going to be looking for. Now, he's not going to be a fantasy starter. He could be a middle infielder if you're in a really deep, like, 16-plus team league and you need someone who's getting at-bats. He's not going to do great things with those at-bats, but he's better than someone who's not playing. So I'm never going to look at him unless he like becomes like a Barry Bonds and just juices up and starts smacking home runs. But, you know, it's nice to know that there's a player on this team that is consistent. And he was he had the third most at-bats of all the Pirates players last year, which is kind of surprising. He was only 8 behind Polanco. So, you know, he is in that lineup all of the time, so that is nice. Why don't we move over to third base, and it's going to be between Jung-Ho Kang and David Freese. David Freese last year, he started off decent. He was able to produce some good counting stats at the beginning of the season before Kang got back. His average isn't anything great, but at least he's not going to kill you in batting average. Jung-Ho Kang had 21 home runs and 318 at-bats, but he had a .255 average. I would assume that Kang is the guy who you're going to look for, but I know that you're a bit worried about him. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I don't like to speculate too much about these things, but there's obviously external things going on with Kang. He's had problems with DUIs, and I think there have been all sorts of legal issues around him as well. I think the Pirates are being pretty non-committal on that while that's playing out. But I'm pretty sure he got left off the WBC roster as well because of the DUIs. So I just think there's some external things going on there that have me a little bit concerned about his playing time. And he struggled with injury as well last season. And although I do think he's, you know, got some upside there, he hit the 21 home runs in basically 2/3 of a season. I think there's a lot of other stuff going on there. And I think unless he's going to be going much later based on that, and maybe we'll get to find out more by the time we hit spring training. But I just don't think he's the kind of guy that I want to take a gamble on.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like last year. He was coming into the season with the injury, and I was just like, I don't want any part of him, even in a deep league, knowing that he does have power. It's just, I don't really want anything to do with him this year either. You know, if he's just falling far enough, maybe I consider him for a corner infield spot because of that power. But outside of that, there's nothing super special that I'm looking at for him because I could see him killing that batting average. Yeah, he'll get some RBIs, and that will be driven from home runs, but I'm not looking forward to trying to acquire him this year because of all this uncertainty that we do have. Why don't we move into the real part of the Pirates' batting order, and that's going to be the three outfielders, where we got Andrew McCutchen, Gregory Polanco, and Starling Marte. Now, we're both hands down big Marte fans because we both have him ranked the highest, but what are you looking for out of this outfield, and do you think that Andrew McCutchen is going to have a similar season to what he did last year, or do you think he's going to be able to improve that batting average?
I think so much of it is tied into the injuries. You know, that he still played a lot But I think he played most of it hurt. I think he was bothered by hand and wrist issues, which I think really impacted his ability to hit for power as well as average. So my hope is that he's going to recover, and I think he does still have the talent in there somewhere, but I think he's just played so much of the last few years dealing with those injuries that there is a real question as to whether he's ever going to get back to kind of first round Andrew McCutchen form. But I think he's the kind of guy you can probably take in the fourth or even fifth at this point, so I kind of like the discount on that. He's still a guy who hit 24 home runs last year. He's still obviously going to play all the time, and I think if as long as you can kind of stay away from the injuries a little bit, then I kind of like the value for somebody who was for years obviously a first round pick.
Yeah, I do like him to bounce back a little bit. It'd be nice to see him not be injured, but you know, that's asking a lot considering that he plays all the time. He's never going to sit to recover from those injuries. So you do have to hope that he is able to stay healthy, but just the way he plays, it makes it really tough. He does like to go all out on certain aspects, and it's nice to see him get 24 home runs, because I honestly wasn't sure if he was even going to get to 20 last year. Now, he did do this in close to 600 at-bats. He had 598, but it's nice to see him get that full season of at-bats. I think if he's able to at least get back to a 280 average, and he's able to have a similar stat line to last year, he's gonna get you a good value probably for where you draft him. Do you think that he's able to duplicate the six steals from last year?
I have more concerns about the speed, I have to say. I think this might just be the fact that he is getting a little bit older. His base running numbers do seem to be declining as well. So I have a suspicion that he is just slowing down a bit. And to be honest, if I'm given the choice between, you know, him chipping in a few more steals or him not risking getting injured by attempting those steals, then I might just prefer that he tries to hit 25 to 30 home runs and get the average up a bit, because I think if somebody gets injured as often as he does, if he's going to go back to trying to attempt 25, 30 steals, then I think there could be trouble there as well.
Yeah, I think he'll probably only have like 3 to 5 this year, and that's me being super optimistic, so we'll have to see. Why don't we talk about Gregory Polanco? Gregory Polanco had a real good season last year. 22 home runs, 17 steals. The 258 average is not as great as I would have hoped. Do you think he can get that up to 280 this year?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, he's still a pretty young guy. Obviously, he's only just turned 25 at the end of last season. So I think he's still got time to adjust his approach and maybe improve that batting average a little bit. But I think he's got the kind of profile where it's never going to be mega high. He does hit a decent number of fly balls. And so I don't think he's ever going to be somebody who's pushing the average up to 300. But I think with a little bit more luck and sort of a slight improvement in his approach, then we could see him at least pushing maybe towards 270, if not more.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him keep making strides as a hitter and get that batting average up, because that batting average comes up just a little bit, he could get to 20 steals, I think, which will bring up his runs closer to 90. And then as he keeps getting more towards the prime of his career, he may be able to even get to 25 home runs and closer to 100 RBIs, so we'll have to see. What are your thoughts on Starling Marte this year? Is this a year that he'll be able to get a ton of steals and still get double-digit power, do you think? Or do you think that he's going to become more one-dimensional and become kind of like a Jacoby Ellsbury was from a few years ago?
Yeah, I think he was probably maybe a little bit unlucky with the home runs. He kind of posted double-digit home run to fly ball rates every year up to last season, and that dipped way down to 8.4%. So I think there's definitely room for him to get back into double-digit home runs and still obviously have the huge stolen base upside. He notched 47 last year, and he still missed a decent chunk of time as well. So I think he's obviously got 50 steal pace, and he's got a great batting average to go with it. So he's going to get on base and have those opportunities. So yeah, I think we could easily be looking at a guy who's going to hit 10 to 15 home runs and threaten kind of 45, 50 steals, which is obviously a pretty exciting player to have.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him be able to put the full season in and not get hurt towards the back end of last year. Now, I do think because the DL rules change a little bit, it will help give us a little more clarity. I know that fantasy owners probably were a little annoyed last year when he was day-to-day for like 3 weeks because they just didn't want to put him on the DL. And it made it really tough because you just never knew if he was going to play. He does have a ton of steals, which is great because it helps, you know, in the early rounds, it helps drive your steal. And you know that you can still get double-digit power from him with a good batting average. Those runs will come up if he does, in fact, stay healthy. And he could eclipse the 50 to 60 RBI total this year if he gets that power up just a little bit. Do you think that there's any chance that they move Andrew McCutchen this year and consider bringing up Austin Meadows?
Well, they've already seemed to have talked about it. There were obviously quite a few rumors leading up to what was apparently an almost trade with the Nationals. So I think they've shown that that's not something that they've taken off the table, even though I know a lot of people were saying, oh, this guy's the face of the franchise, you can't move him. I don't think the Pirates are thinking about it that way. And they obviously, in Meadows, they have somebody who I think is pretty highly rated and could easily slot into this outfield alongside Marte and Polanco, and they, you know, might not miss a beat if McCutchen doesn't show any signs of getting back to his old self. So I think a little bit might depend on how he starts the year. I don't know that they want to sell low on him, so maybe if he starts hot, that makes it even more likely they'll trade him, especially if the rest of the team isn't likely to propel them into the playoffs. And obviously they are not in the best division to try and win at the moment, so I think that could impact on their decision as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get moved, given how close he got to it over the offseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because of how close he was, it seems very likely that he will get moved this year. And I agree that the Pirates, as an organization, don't really care if he's the face of a franchise. I think they respect that about him, and they respect everything that he's done for the city. I just think that they're going to look at it as a chance to be able to bring up one of their young, great talents and be able to still move McCutchen while he still has value. And if I do recall correctly, I believe he becomes a free agent after this season. I may be wrong. He may have one more year after this, but they're going to look to move him at some point. And I expect a deal to get done this year. So
The team's got an option on him next year, 14.7 mil. So depending, obviously, if he plays well, then they would definitely pick that up. But he's technically, this is his last year of guaranteed contract, yeah.
Why don't we move over to the pitching side of things? We have Gerrit Cole, who has been the top 10 pitcher for the last couple of years. Last year, he had some injuries, which I think sent him back. You have Tyler Glasnow, Jameson Taillon, Ivan Nova, and then you're probably going to have a mix of Chad Kuhl and potentially Drew Hutchinson. So what do you think is going to come out of this rotation?
I think Cole will bounce back. I know it feels like we've been talking about him for a while as a number one overall pick. He's obviously got huge upside in the prospect pedigree to go with it. And I do think he got maybe a little bit unlucky last year and dealt with the injuries as well, which I think, like McCutchen, really impacted his season. So I'm confident that he'll bounce back, and he's shown us in the past that he's got both the strikeout upside and the great control that we would look for out of a fantasy ace. So if you were going to be picking any one of these guys who's kind of going around the 2-3 starter range that could jump up into the top category, I think he might be as good a bet as any.
Yeah, I was really big on Gerrit Cole last year. I bought him in a bunch of leagues, so to see him struggle was definitely a disappointment. You could tell he was struggling because he wasn't even able to average a full K per inning, which he came very close to the year before. The ERA was high. The whip was real high. I'm pretty sure the injuries just really hurt his progress, and I can see a big bounce-back season coming for him. Out of the rest of this rotation, what are you most looking for? Because a lot of fantasy owners really like Tyler Glasnow because of his strikeout potential. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to succeed right away just because of the control issues. Jameson Taillon has better control issues, but he's always been hurt and he's not as big of a K guy. What are you looking for from those two young players?
I think I've been surprised at how high Tyone seems to be going so far. I certainly think he's an interesting option with some serious upside, but the price for someone who's still relatively unproven, we've just got 104 major league innings, and you know he did a good job last year, but I think that's not really big enough of a sample for me to say that he's going to be a reliable guy this season. So I think the future is bright for him, but the helium on him is going a little bit high for me, certainly in drafts that I've seen and taken part in so far. I don't know exactly how much they're expecting to get out of Glasnow. I think there's some question about that. I think he's projected for about 120-ish innings by a steamer at the moment. So they're obviously not seeing him as someone who's going to spend more than maybe like 2/3 of the year in the rotation. But reports seem to suggest that a lot of that depends on how they get on with the next couple of months in terms of signings as well. I think if they don't add anybody, then there is a chance that he slots in there, just because, as we can see from looking at the depth charts, there isn't a huge amount left they can turn to at the back there with Cool and Hutchinson. These kind of guys are not particularly exciting, and I think they might need to look at Glasnow just because they need the innings. So again, another young guy who's got some really exciting upside. He's got some ridiculous strikeout numbers in the minors, but he's got a lot more control issues, and I think somebody that I would probably want to see string a few decent starts together before I take a gamble on him.
Yeah, for me, I still think I'd have to lean more towards Glasnow just because of his strikeout potential. I think that he'll be able to, with Racers, be able to work out the control issues. And for Tyone, we already know that he's able to locate his pitches and everything. And, yeah, he doesn't get a ton of strikeouts. But because of those injuries, I get worried. And they're going to have to rely on him a lot this year because they don't have a ton at the back half of the rotation. So it will make it tough for them to not have to rely on both of these young pitchers. Last year they got 104 innings out of Tyone. I could see them maybe getting to 150 this year just because to 180 just because last year he did have pitching in the minors and he has his arm stretched out a little bit more, but we'll see how they risk it because of all the injuries he has had. Glasnow, I do expect him to see at least half to three quarters of the year up in the majors. And the rest, basically, it will be, like you said, it will be decided on by if they need to sign anyone else at the before the season starts. Since Ivan Nova came over, he had some pretty good numbers. Do you have any expectations for him to do decent for this season?
I got pretty excited about Nova coming over. He displayed some ludicrously good control when he joined the Pirates. It was almost like somebody just flipped a switch and told him that actually he could throw all his pitches kind of in the strike zone, and it seemed to work for him. So that was pretty exciting. I think there's a cap on his value in terms of the strikeout upside. So I do think that limits his utility somewhat, but you're not going to have to pay an awful lot for him. And I think, again, with what we've mentioned in terms of them not having much behind him, the innings is kind of, this might be his first season where he's really goes towards 180, 190 innings, because there's not an awful lot behind him. I don't think anyone's going to bump him out of this rotation unless all of the young guys pan out at the same time. So I think I'm kind of interested in Noah as sort of a back-end guy in a deeper league for a bit of consistency, but I don't think we can really expect the kind of ridiculous form that he showed when he joined the team last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think at least for the team's number four, you could maybe get a number five, maybe number six starter for your fantasy team, which will be decent. He'll be better than a streaming option, I believe, this year. We've seen so many resurrection projects come from Pittsburgh that I do think he'll be able to give you a good season. I don't know what he'll do in terms of wins, but I do think that he'll be able to at least get quality starts while he's here. The strikeouts will be limited, but at least he isn't a total useless pitcher in terms of strikeouts. It would be nice to see him make some more improvements. As for the bullpen, what can we expect from Tony Watson and Daniel Hudson this year?
Well, I was saying to you before, I was a little bit mystified by all the people saying that this is kind of Hudson's closer job. I know he had a nice season for the Diamondbacks when he made his return after all those years out, having the Tommy John, and I think he then tore it again straight away. So he had a long time out, and it was really nice to see him come back and do well. But last year did not go that well for him. He had a 5.22 ARA. I think he got a little bit of bad luck, but I also don't think he pitched particularly well. And in contrast, Watson has been one of the most consistent relievers in baseball over the last 4 or 5 years. And I just think if I'm going to pick a guy who's going to get the closer's role, I want the guy who's been dependable and got the job done, not the guy who already had a shot at closing last season in Arizona and completely blew it, like every other reliever in Arizona. But still, I don't really get the Hudson excitement. I think I would much rather have the reliable Watson.
Yeah, I think I would be happy with Watson as well. I guess the question that they'll be looking at is, if they are in sell mode, are they going to look to move Daniel Hudson and Tony Watson, or are they just going to move Tony Watson and then they'll make Daniel Hudson the closer? You know, I think that that's going to be one of the questions that will come up this year. I guess as in terms of players out in the bullpen that you could look at that could potentially have a deep league for saves is Rivero, Felipe Rivero, just because he does have a lot of strikeout potential. And the thing that works against him, I believe, is that he's a lefty, but he did post good numbers before he had come over last year in the Melanson trade. So we'll see if he's able to potentially be a dark horse candidate. Darius, is there anyone else that you want to talk about in this Pirates team?
I think we've covered most of the bases here. I think the guys, for years, it seemed like they were a team that had a lot of prospects on the way, and a lot of those guys now we're seeing make it to the majors with guys like Glasnow and Taillon. They've already been up, and I think they're going to play major roles. So Meadows, you already touched, as the one guy who could make a real impact. But other than that, I think that's most of the guys likely to be fantasy relevant for the Pirates this year.
Yeah, there's no real deep league players that I'm looking at that could come up. Basically, for any prospects, you'll have to listen to Matt's Prospect Minute to see. I guess, you know, Juan Nicasio last year had a lot of strikeouts. He was the fifth starter for a while, but he just kind of fell apart. I guess he could be a potential spot starter for them. So you do know that you could potentially get a streaming option if he does, in fact, get a couple of starts, just because you know you'll probably get Ks with him. So that's a player to keep an eye on. And then, like I said, Meadows at some point will come up this year. Hopefully, if not this year, then at least next year, because I can't see them just not being able to bring him up. It just doesn't make any sense. So within the next 2 years, Austin Meadows will be there, and I'll be happy to see what he's able to provide. Darius, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I've got a few pieces in the works fantasy-wise. I'm doing some player profiles over at Fantasy Pros at the moment. Got one up on Ian Desmond. I'm going to have a few more going up over the next few weeks. And I'm also going to be doing something for FWFB about where I differ the most from the consensus in the rankings. So look out for those.
For me, I am the host of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits basketball podcast. Eric Mackey joins me once a week to talk about fantasy basketball, so give that a listen. I will be hosting our Tuesday show for fantasy baseball with Chuck Anderson and Evan Peterson. And I currently will be looking to write some articles for baseball this season. I typically like to talk about pitchers, and I try to focus more on individual matchups and long-term season outlooks. So look for any articles that I post with that. Please give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever, with SoundCloud, whatever you use. If you post it to our Twitter at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, we will try to get you into one of our listener leagues, and you'll be eligible to win some prizes. I do believe we are giving away some hats or some shirts or potentially both. For the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball season.
It's that time again. That's right. It's fantasy baseball season, and the Fantasy Black Book is back and better than ever. This is Joe Pizzapia, author of the 9-time best-selling Fantasy Black Book series, number one right now on Amazon, on iTunes, and for the first time ever, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book can be held in your hand. Yes, what a beautiful world we live in. Head over to Amazon and buy your hard copy as well today. Baseball is coming. Are you ready?